if you're living with sight loss, you'll be familiar with some of the challenges that are to getting around. And in different parts of the country, different services do exist to try and aid with that. But it isn't always the smoothest or most convenient service, as Paul Quigley has been finding out down in Manchester. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Simon.
And you've been using one of these services, haven't you?
I've been using several in recent times since becoming registered blind. Yes, absolutely. And they vary, as you quite rightly say. They do vary in quality. And sometimes they're very, very good. And other times they are, well, leave a lot to be desired. But that's through cutbacks, I think, a lot of the time, and staff shortages and demand. I mean, there's a lot of demand for these services. So they can get booked up very quickly. And sometimes you can find that when you're going for an availability, they aren't available at the times that you actually need them, you know, on the dates that you need them. So yes, it fluctuates, but you know, against a backdrop of sort of austerity and tough economic times, and of course with this whole uncertainty of Brexit and budget cutbacks within government departments, the fact that we've got any of these at all, quite honestly, is a minor miracle. So you know, we do appreciate. You know, I certainly appreciate what there is available, and even though it might have some shortcomings from time to time, I think on balance, it's more good than bad, and to have them there is an absolute lifeline, Simon, absolute lifeline.
So give us an idea then. You're living in the outskirts of Manchester then, so give us an idea of what's available for you, ideally.
Well, primarily, if you do get registered blind and you're not sure, the RNIB helpline is a fab place to start, by the way. The other place is, from my own experience, is there seems to group itself into three different types of transport. There's the rail network, there's the bus network, and there is a private, I would say, well, not private, it's the Ring and Ride services. I don't know if it may fluctuate, change its name from area to area, but it's called Ring and Ride in Greater Manchester, and I think it's funded primarily by Greater Manchester Passenger Transport Executive, that does transport for GM, TFGM, Transport for Greater Manchester. And they provide it's basically a minibus service, which if you pre-book it 7 days in advance, you need to go to, say, the dentist or any appointment for that matter. You book it 7 days prior to your date that you need it, and they'll check availability depending on other you know, people in the area have also got disabilities. And if you can, you book one, and I think there's a nominal charge of about £1 or something each way there and back. You have to qualify under this scheme for concessionary bus and rail travel anyway, so you do have to be either sight impaired or severely sight impaired, so you have to qualify for that, and you get yourself like a little credit card sized ID badge that you keep with you, and you show that to the driver on each journey that you take, and it works really well. I mean, you can't sort of say, oh well, you know, if you've got an appointment with a dentist, here's a hypothetical situation, you've got a dental appointment at 2 p.m. it's best to book it for, say, 1 p.m. so that it'll give you time to get from your place of, you know, your residence to the place and wait. You can't always expect to get one at, say, 1:45, even though you'd like to. It's not private hire, it's not like a private taxi. And then, of course, when you come out at the far end, you have to wait around sometimes for it to come back. And that, so you take a book or something with you, or something to read or listen to whilst you're waiting, because it's not a rocket science. It's not a perfect thing, really. Then there's the rail network. So if you go further distances, there are some very, very good services. Actually, I have to praise one. Can I name Virgin? They're very, very good on the West Coast line to London. They have a fabulous meet and assistance service, which I would highly recommend. So if you arrive at the mainline station, they will collect you, take you onto the train, sit down, and then they'll get you off at the far end to whoever you're meeting or wherever you need to go, and they can hand you over to, in my case it was London, they hand you over to the London Underground staff, who can then get you across the entire London Underground network. And that is a fabulous experience. I was actually dreading that before I realized that they will actually get you on and off tube trains as well at the beginning and at the end of the journey, and the driver on each train is aware that you're on that train. It's absolutely fabulous. So don't have any doubts about traveling across London, people, because they are there to help, and they are aware of what they call, we're all VIPs in the visually impaired persons, but we're VIPs, aren't we? So that's the overland. Then for local buses and local trains, I'm less experienced at this because I don't trust bus drivers. So if you basically, the situation scenario there would be you get on a bus and they can clearly see, well, hopefully clearly see that you've got a white cane, and you sit down near the driver and just say, can you put me off the bus at such and such? But of course, bus drivers invariably get distracted or they're in the world of their own. And what I dread is that he forgets that you're sitting there waiting for his cue to step off at the next, whichever, where you say it's the shopping centre, and he misses you and he takes you into the middle of nowhere and says, oh, sorry, mate, sorry. Oh, you just jump off here and just cross the road there and you can get the bus back. And I thought, can you imagine that? No, I don't want to do that. So I haven't done that. I've never, because I just don't like that level of uncertainty and the risk of me stood in the street. No, I wouldn't do it. So I don't do that. That's something I don't do. And I don't know whether or not there's something that bus network people can actually do to rule that out, basically, you know, remove that sort of uncertainty, because I won't travel. I mean, I have a free bus pass, but I won't use it.
And maybe, I know I've been getting various bus companies to sign up to a charter for drivers to sort of commit themselves to actually being more aware and, you know, making more concessions to people, to, you know, that can't see. Because I'm the same as you. If it's night time in particular and I get on a bus, I haven't a clue looking out if it's raining. Then there's no chance. So we'd love to hear from you at home, by the way, what your experiences are, what works for you travelling wise, because it's different for all of us. Well, some people are really confident travelling. I'm not the best for travelling on my own these days, since my sight's deteriorated, and I admit to that, and it's part of the way I am. But I'm not always familiar with things that are in place to help me, which is, I think, one of the key things that we should be, is get ourselves familiar with what's available to us.
That's absolutely right. And I think the RNIB helpline is always a good starting point, wouldn't you say, for that sort of thing, because they usually are pretty good on that sort of thing, apart from, you know, we do need to pool our knowledge in some ways and have like a database of how to do these things, which, like, maybe because they change, you know, as time goes on, things change and services do get improved. Thankfully, they tend to improve rather than degrade. So, yeah, I think, and that it's all about confidence. It's about knowing that you can get to A to B on a level playing field with the Equalities Act, of course, 2010, that we have equal access. They might think, oh, well, you can get on buses, but if they haven't thought the actual system and the process through, the system's there, but the processes aren't there. If you step off a bus at sort of, you know, midnight, like you were saying just then, you're in trouble, because you can't, you know, you'd then have to, you might as well just book a taxi all the way. And it, of course, then it costs you, it hits you in the pocket. And of course, people invariably with disabilities are not as economically flush as people who aren't. So it's not fair, really. There's no equality in that. So yes, I think you're right, we do need to look into this a little bit further and speak to some of these bus companies and make sure that they I think, believe or not, they do some training where they train drivers in the use, or how it is actually where blind people are, I think they put a black bag over their head and things like that, or they pretend, sort of, they simulate it, in other words, Simon. So yes, we've got a long way to go anyway.
The other thing that you can do is get in touch with RNIB Connect on Facebook, and perhaps, you know, put your concerns up there and find out somebody perhaps in your area that's got a solution that's worked for them, because that's a great way of the VI community just, you know, helping each other.
Exactly, absolutely. I think we should commune more in that respect, and yeah.
But anyway, there are solutions there, and it's not always a perfect fit, but it's good to find out what's about.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will let you go off on your travels, Mr. Paul Quigley, but as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much indeed. Have a great week, Simon. Thank you.